Hello and welcome to the April edition of Nature's Calendar, the Greener Leith podcast bringing you the best of wildlife out and about in Leith. This month's Nature's Calendar comes to you from the Edinburgh Bike Tracks. We'll be eating plants and trees and spotting wildlife as we go. My name is Emily Dodd. I'm joined by Earth Calling, so that's Gus Egan. Hello, Gus.
Hi there, how are you doing?
Good, thank you. Good to be back outside with
it
you
is
again.
Indeed.
And Laura Weston. Hi, Laura.
Hiya.
And yeah, this time we're at Five Ways Junction, so we're on the bike tracks. If you're using the inner tube map, it's where the yellow line crosses the red line. Gus, what can we hope to see around here in April?
So I've had some of my best wildlife experiences, I think, in Edinburgh. On a cycle track, I've been hit in the face by a bat cycling along one evening, and I saw this bat coming towards me, and I thought, this bat is going to kind of, its sonar is going to be going in, it's going to know that I am not a particularly large moth, and it's going to move, and it didn't, and it just hit me on my forehead, and I kind of stopped, and it was lying on its back, and I picked it up, and it flew away. It's fantastic. Aww. And then raced the badger. Wow. Cycling along the cycle track and the badger on my right hand side, and it was kind of like it looked at me and I looked at it, and it sped up and I sped up and I slowed down and it slowed down, and we didn't know who, and for about 100 metres just that's it awesome. Followed it, and then it went off and through a hedge and into a garden. Fantastic.
That's brilliant. I'd like to get hit by a bat.
It's a great thing to be hit by a bat, it really is. Yeah. Last month when we were out, we were on that sort of cusp of the end of the winter, and things were just starting, the green was just starting to show. Whereas now you're just looking around and everything's kind of happening. There's catkins out, we're standing underneath a beautiful big old elm tree. So we can expect to see lots and lots of colour, hear lots and lots of birds, probably see lots and lots of cyclists. It's a lovely day, you know, and just lots of cool things going on.
After eating gorse flowers, which taste of munge too, we stopped at a hawthorn tree. I discovered hawthorn has another name.
Used to get called bread and cheese.
Wow.
Because children used to put them on sandwiches. Not the best of things. I have put it on a sandwich before, but you can eat the leaves. And it's another one of these sort of potage things that they would collect these, stick them in a pot, and, you know, and make a soup. So I think
we should eat them then.
In tradition, yeah. We should all pick one.
Just so I'm trusting
and
you.
Eat one. Trust me.
With this.
Obviously, with things like this.
These.
And it's the same with any kind of, I guess, even vegetables and stuff that you'd be buying in a supermarket. You want them to be fresh. Mm. So I would not be suggesting to anyone to go out later on in the year and eat hawthorn leaves, because they're not going to, you know, they're not going to poison you or anything like that, but they're going to be tough and nasty. The best time with any of these kind of wild plants that we're eating, you want to get them fresh, you want to get them just as they are kind of coming out,
which is right now.
These leaves have not even opened up yet,
so the perfect time for eating
bread and cheese.
Okay, and here we go.
Right, there you go. God, we did eat them.
And it doesn't taste like cheese, but it does taste like salad.
Yeah, salad, exactly.
And is there a book that you can recommend?
There is. I really, I mean,
which to eat?
If there was a Bible of wild foods, and he's a very, very, very famous sort of wildlifey, botanically guy, Richard Mabey's Food for Free, and it's been out for years and years and years. It's a book that I recommend to anybody and everybody. Beautiful pictures and very, very clear cut information, not just on what you can and what you can't go out and pick, but just how you, even some simple little recipes and stuff as well.
Great.
It's just a lovely book. It's a really, and not an expensive book, $4.99 I think. Yeah. $4.99 from most bookshops.
Okay.
Brilliant.
Sounds like a good one. Is it easy to eat the wrong thing and get poisoned?
Well, it is and it isn't. I mean, I think this is the whole thing. I think that a book like Food for Free, it tells you what you can eat. So it doesn't tell you what you can't eat, which is kind of quite a good thing. So I think if you've got a book that tells you what you can eat, go with that and don't eat anything else, you know. And if you're unsure, don't eat anything, you know.
Yeah. Wherever we went, we spotted butterflies and birds in the bushes.
No, they
were up in, you see, there, they just flew along. Is that
oh, yeah,
that is long-tailed tits. There you go.
So there was a bunch of four long-tailed tits just hanging out
them.
in the tree next to us.
I love them.
Yeah, there's another tree.
Oh, there's... Yeah, and two more down there.
I think they're one of my favourite little birds. They are really, really fantastic.
Really, really easy. They've got long tail. And they're not... I think the only bird that has a long tail like it that you could ever... would be a wagtail. They don't look really anything like a wagtail. A wagtail, you know a wagtail because it wags its tail. Long-tailed tits don't wag their tails as such. Wagtails you tend to see on the ground. Long-tailed tits you'll see flying about in the trees. Beautiful little birds.
Brilliant.
And lovely little tweety twitter.
As well as spotting wildlife, Gus kept spotting food.
But as we speak, our taste buds, can you know, are you ready? You're ready for some...
we've
got a couple of things here, actually. What we're now moving on to, and this is cool, you're going to enjoy this, is we've moved off eating leaves that really don't taste of an awful lot. We're moving into leaves that are going to taste a little bit nicer, okay? So we've got a couple of my favourites, actually. We've got here, and this is just coming through, we have garlic mustard.
Ooh.
Okay, as its name suggests, member of the garlic family. Member of the mustard family. And the reason that it's called the garlic side of things is, and I'm going to get you to do this, is, well, I want you to take one of the leaves, and I want you to rub it between your fingers, and then I want you to have a smell and tell me what you can smell.
Oh, it smells of garlic.
Yeah, it does smell of garlic.
Definitely.
And this is a really, really, nice. Really nice plant. Eat the leaf. Eat that leaf now.
Okay.
Or even just eat, don't eat the whole thing. Well, you can eat the whole thing, yeah.
Oh.
No, do eat the whole thing, and it's...
Oh, it's hot.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that's the mustard.
That's the mustard. Wow.
Yeah.
Mm. It's good.
So suddenly... Now this is the kind of thing that, you know, hawthorn, yeah. This, stick that in a sandwich.
That'd be good.
That's going to be really, really nice. Grows to be, about 2 or 3 feet tall. Has lovely bunch of white flowers. At the top you can eat the flowers as well. It's in the boot. So, here we go. The mighty three-cornered leek.
Three-cornered
leek. It's not a rounded...
well, the actual...
Actually, the stem is...
The stem is a triangle. Well, it's a sort of circle with three corners, isn't it?
It's like a circle with... A bulged
triangle.
Yeah. But that's why it's called three-cornered. So you can actually, when you're holding the plant just now... It has three corners on it. What I'm doing is I'm picking the unopened flower heads. We had kids, we were doing this a couple of weeks ago with the kids, some kids from a school, and we were telling them, they were all misbehaving a little bit, and I was saying, right, I'm going to give you a food challenge. And we were saying that these were the chrysalis of the three-cornered maggot or something, three-cornered leek maggot. And we've got them tasting. It's not. It's the unopened flower head.
Oh, it looks like a chrysalis.
It does, okay. A little bit. And eat it. Eat the whole thing.
So open it. Oh, yeah. Wow.
No, just a little thing.
Just eat, eat that whole thing.
Season. Oh,
now that
wow.
Is apps. Mm. Is that not absolutely that
really
gorgeous?
Good.
It's a spring onion.
Yeah,
it's got a little bit of a kick.
Mmm. It's really, really
what
nice.
What I really, really want. And the thing is, to catch them, this
wow.
We want. I mean, you could eat these at any time.
I had no idea the bike tracks had this much food.
You know, you can eat the flowers as the flowers are. I'm going to give you a flower, an open flower to eat.
Okay.
Now, you know, some people might be listening and thinking, oh, hold on, you know, what's this? They're going in. These are wildflowers and they're eating. These are not rare. They are, if anything, a little bit kind of taking over, you know. There's an awful lot of these about. Us eating a few of these is... in no way gonna endanger populations of three-cornered leek. And this is just the chef in me kind of coming out. I was thinking that you could pick these, you can make a light tempura batter using flour and soda water, fizzy. It's a very, very light batter. And dip these in and then deep fry them and have them with a spicy chili dip.
Oh,
I think they would just be absolutely fantastic. Big bowl of those, just as a little thing.
Yeah, that sounds...
Yeah, watch
really
this. I bet Jamie Oliver, that's what he'll be doing next. Jamie Oliver will be there. First heard it. But they're lovely, aren't they?
And this is, so by eating them, we're kind of helping to manage the
population. Yeah, you could be saying, yeah, definitely. There are more of these than you can shake a stick at.
And they look a little bit like bluebells in the
they
way
do look a little bit,
that
yeah.
their leaves are coming out.
That's right.
One of the best ways in which you would be able to tell that this was not a bluebell as well is to go up and you pick one of the leaves, rub that between your fingers. Huh. Have a smell. It smells, doesn't it?
I can't smell it.
I actually can't. Yeah. That's really weird, actually.
Maybe I got a different leaf.
They always do smell as well. That's really, really weird, actually.
No.
Three-cornered leaf. Pick it,
because its stem has three corners.
Not every plant we saw was good to eat.
Also got just over here, we've got our sort of creeping buttercups coming through. They'll kind of just be taking over along here as well.
Can you eat those?
No.
As we neared the Trinity Tunnel, Gus did a little science experiment on the trailing Tarzan-like ivy.
Yeah,
so we've just tested it. You can't, the ivy hanging down.
Climb up the ivy.
It's not possible to swing on in a Tarzan-like fashion.
Look at that. You probably could with that.
The kids swing on it. I think we're probably just a bit...
We're just not kids. Not very good at being Tarzan.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Here we go. This
is
a...
The tree.
The tree might not support it.
That's fantastic.
It's a giant...
Yeah, brilliant.
Okay, we're going to walk through the tunnel now, so we may start to echo a wee bit. So would... Would there be much living in here? Bats or anything? Or?
Well, I was thinking there might be cave spiders earlier.
There might be.
Cave spiders.
The cave-dwelling orb web spiders, their eggs hang from a sort of thing, single thread from... Well, they're attached onto the cave, but the egg cases are the size, sometimes the size of grapes.
Wow. Oh, that's horrible. So yeah, if you're walking through...
Well, I mean, but the first time that I ever came across one of them was actually in the lock-up of our flat. And I went into the lock-up and hanging from the rafters was this thing. And I was like, oh my goodness. And I looked to the side of the wall and there was this very big spider.
Ugh.
And we'd not long come back from travelling around Asia. And I thought, oh my goodness, have I bought something come back in my rucksack?
In your bag.
And it wasn't, and I did some research and found out that it's this cave-dwelling orb web spider that was originally from warmer climates, but it's now found here. And we found at Ravelston Woods, there's a cave up at Ravelston Woods, that we found lots and lots of these
big spiders. As big as your hand?
Well, no, not quite. I mean,
Yeah. Quite easily.
And the classic kind of orb web spider, so big, fat abdomen, a great spider. Really, really
stripy legs.
Yeah, stripy legs.
Oh, it's a shame we can't see one, although I think I'd be a bit freaked out.
I think there's actually one on your back.
No.
No, there isn't.
Stop it. We spotted a bird busy building a nest.
And here we go. Here he is, blue tip coming down. Everybody knows what blue tit looks like. Tiny little bird, blue cap. Probably one of the most easily recognisable birds after a robin. Is he going to go? There you go.
Oh, there he is.
Just came out.
They've got a lemon belly, a little stripe.
So fantastic. That's really, really nice to see. Here we go, coming back. Are they going to go back into the nest?
Not all the sounds we heard were natural. Oh.
Lovely.
What's that? We're not actually inside.
No.
We are. Is that the kettle boiling? Lovely spring flowers there that we can see on the bank there. In fact, there's a bee going into them as well. Little yellow flowers, little heart-shaped leaves, lesser celandine. One of the kind of first ones that you're going to kind of see. It's a beautiful, a lovely flower.
Just like in Warriston Cemetery last month, invaders were present.
One of the areas that we talked about last month, the problem areas that we talked about last month was these invasive species, and we mentioned Japanese knotweed, and we mentioned briefly the Himalayan balsam as well.
That explodes.
Exploding seeds. Well, hey, lovely in some ways, terrible in other ways.
this whole area, so from the five ways down to the tunnel at the East Trinity Road, will become just a swathe of this Himalayan balsam. And in some ways, really, really nice, because it brings colour and bees and all of these kind of things. Unfortunately, it is invasive. And, you know, as we do look around here, most of the little plants that we can see coming through, that's what it's going to become.
Right, so this is the start of the invasion.
It's the start of it. Up here again, talking about invasive species. Here we go, we've got the Japanese knotweed up on the verge here.
Oh, yeah.
One of the reasons that you're often getting invasive species or large-scale species taking over an area, particularly on the what were the old railway tracks, was in the days, if you can imagine, when trains were kind of coming along here, and as they zoom past, when these plants are in seed, is they kind of get pulled across. And certainly certain species, rosebay willow herb, which also gets called fireweed, its journey from the sort of southern parts of England right through up, colonising the entire Scotland, sort of the entire British Isles, was really, really down to the rail tracks, because it's wind-blown seeds just got kind of carried along. And we'll see those later on in the year. They're not through just now. We'll see those later on in the year.
I really enjoyed the wonder on the bike tracks with Gus, and I learned so much about the plants I'd never given a second thought to before. Like a dandelion. The name is French for teeth of the lion, and you'll see why if you hold a leaf right next to your mouth. And you could put them in your mouth too, but make sure you give them a wash if you're picking them from the bike tracks. Talking to Gus helped me to appreciate how lucky we are having the bike tracks right here on our doorstep in Edinburgh.
From a cycle track point of view, in Edinburgh we are so, so blessed. And you know, and you can start right down at the shore at Leith, and you can walk for miles and miles and miles and get, you know, right across the city without ever having to cross a main road or anything like that. And if you're into just doing it for a walk, fantastic. If you're into going on your bike, brilliant. If you're into doing it from going out on a wildlife ramble, I don't think you can get really, really much better. You know, especially even from the point of view of that you don't need welly boots, you don't need anything like that. You're walking on a tarmac thing, and it's just kind of all going on around you. And if you stop and just look and wait, you're going to kind of come across something. I think they're fantastic things. You know, there's a part of me that, you know, I'm a cyclist, so I cycle everywhere, so I love them.
So you might hear now the sounds of cars. That's us back to the road and the end of the Trinity Path and the end of the April Nature's Calendar podcast. Gus, what will we be doing in May? What was the plan for then?
Do you know something? I'm really, really looking forward to May. It's been a long, long, long time coming, but we are going to be looking at the water of Leith.
Brilliant.
So I'm thinking it's going to be wellies on, really.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, so we're not just going to be looking at it. We're going to be hopefully kind of getting in there, and we're going to be kind of seeing what's going on down beside the river. Hopefully the sun will be shining as it has been today. Nets out, and let's just see what we can find on and in the river. It's going to be a beauty.
So we're going to go right into the river.
We're going to go right into it. So we're going to find out what's living in the river, but we're also hopefully going to maybe see dippers, kingfishers if we're really, really lucky, herons, mayflies, caddisflies, all sorts of things.
Sounds exciting. Yeah. Can't wait for that. So make sure you do listen to our Nature's Calendar podcast in May. This podcast was brought to you by Greener Leith. So you can log on to greenerleith.org/naturescalendar. And we've had a request from the Woodland Trust. They would like you to record all your sightings on their website. So we'll put a link on the Greener Leith website as to how you can record sightings. That's just because they monitor them for climate change. They want to see what's happening and what's around all of the UK at different times of year. So if you see something this month or next month or any month, please do log it on for the Woodland Trust as well. I'm Emily Dodd, and this was Earth Calling, Gus Egan and Laura Weston. Thanks very much to both of you.
Enjoy the wildlife.